Everybody and welcome to the Sunday morning discussion group, adult discussion group. Well, we're as adult as we feel sometimes. At Wings Christian Fellowship. And today again, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we could probably stay in there for a long, long time. Because you never get tired of talking about love.
Yeah, chapter 13 is actually a pretty short chapter.
It is, actually. I was even thinking maybe we could just read the whole thing today. What I would like to do, I would like to read it in the Passion Bible. And I, Clyde, do you have your Phillips with you?
Yeah.
Let's do that today for a change. We'll give Brendan Buddy a week off. Hey, Brenda, will you start us out in a word of prayer?
Father, we just are so thankful to gather together in your name and honor you, O God. And we thank you for the sweet fellowship that we have, sharing Christ with one another. And we ask, Lord, that which you speak to us this day, that we receive in both services, Father, take it to heart, and Lord, may you be expressed in and through our lives, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm looking forward to the next service, because, you know, there was a big dead end there. I have to feel, I can't wait to hear how that poor mother's going to raise those boys. He dropped a bombshell and then he just left us sitting there. So I'm sure it's going to have something to do with love and the Lord.
I think she's gonna not spare the rod and not spoil the child.
I think you'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Well,
I tell you, if I like my mother, you know.
My mom had a
me
good
and
arm.
We were raising almost a similar situation. Yeah, what?
A good arm.
Good arm.
Yeah. There's a Jenny. Well, and even in speaking of love, there's nothing like a mother's love.
No.
And then, this being Memorial Day weekend, we have to remember it's a Bible verse that says, greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friends.
That's right.
And you know the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He laid down his life for all of us.
Mm-hmm. One of the neat things about that too is he said, the servant doesn't know what the master does, he said, but the friend does, basically. And I'm paraphrasing that. He said, from henceforth, I call you friends.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That was a big promotion. Yeah,
absolutely. A lot of difference between being a servant and a friend.
Yeah.
I spent the last night, a little tiny bit this morning, trying to comprehend the depth of love. Might as well forget it, because you
oh,
can't.
Oh my goodness, you have. No mind.
Because we have been, you know. Okay, well, go ahead. Who wants to go first? Clyde, who wants to go first?
Okay.
Where is he starting? Is he reading it?
I think we ought to read the whole chapter.
All right.
It's such a short chapter, yeah. You might as well read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You ready?
Oh, I am.
And it's the title of this is Christian Love, the Highest and Best Gift. Mm-hmm. If I speak with eloquence of men and of angels and have no love, I become no more than blaring brass and crashing cymbal. If I have the gift of foretelling the future and hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but the very secrets of God, and if I also have the absolute faith which can move mountains, but have not love, I amount to nothing at all. If I dispose of all that I possess, yes, even if I give my own body to be burned, but have no love, I have achieved precisely nothing. You want me to continue?
Yeah. Okay.
This love of which I speak is low to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious or impressed, nor does it cherish and flattery ideals of its own importance. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it shares the joy of those who live by the truth. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. Love never fails. For if there are prophecies, they will be fulfilled and done with. If there are tongues, the need of them will disappear. If there is knowledge, it will be swallowed up in truth. For our knowledge is always incomplete, and our prophecy is always incomplete. And when the complete comes, that is the end of the incomplete. Oh, I like that. When I was a little child, I talked and felt and thought like a little child. Now that I am a man, I have finished with childish things. At present, we are men looking at puzzling reflections in a mirror. This time will come when we shall see reality whole and face to face. At present, all I know is a little fraction of the truth. That's humbling. But the time will come when I shall know it as fully as God has known me. It says, in this life, we have three lasting qualities, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love.
Amen.
That's very humbling to even read that.
Yes. That's what I kept getting out of it. Oh, very humbling. And remember, this is one of my favorite things about love, or at least hearing about love. Perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. And without fear, there is complete contentment, I feel.
You know what I get out of this? The final word is love endureth.
Mm-hmm. Love
and that which is endured is a keeper.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. I felt like I was sleeping and dreaming, but not really sleeping and not really dreaming, because I slept like 12 hours the night before last. And I kind of had on my mind about love, and not only that, I'm going to digress for a minute. My brother Jim is visiting, and he's 82, and he has Parkinson's, and it's not an easy trip for him. He's coming from California to visit the family. Now, you know what's on his mind. You know, it's probably our last in this life, you know, time together. There's not going to be a lot of people getting on airplanes and going more places because we're all getting up there, you know. And so I was, you know, with thinking of this coming up, you know, I hope this isn't kind of a sordid kind of, you know, oh, isn't it terrible, you know. I want to have the best fun that we can have together. Go ahead.
You got me thinking about that. And I'm sitting over here, and God said, won't you pray for a refreshing of the whole family, not just Tim, but the refreshing of the whole family, mm-hmm. to see as God sees. Mm-hmm. When we see things as God sees, tell me there's not a greater hope. Mm-hmm. There's always a greater hope, matter of fact, there's always a greater motive, a greater position of positivity, and it's a greater willingness to, whether you need to help carry or whatever, it's a greater of laying, you get to lay it down. So he can be elevated through Christ. I mean, you know,
Amen.
In the beloved we are accepted.
Mm-hmm.
That's humbling.
Yeah. I got to thinking about, as a family, and especially as siblings, all the things that we've been through together, mm-hmm. that nobody else shares these things. Mm-hmm. And the Lord just, it seemed like all through it all, the Lord was showing me. He has brought each one of us to the place. He's brought me to the place where I am. You would think with all that shared background, we would be very similar in our beliefs and in our ways of dealing with things.
But your experiences are all different.
Yes. It's so unbelievable, you know. Sometimes we sit and we laugh and we talk to each other and we say, it's impossible to believe that we were raised in the same house with the same parents because we're all so different. And we all remember things so differently than the other ones, you know? And I feel like there's going to be a great coming together in great joy and great, because the Lord was showing me that each thing, that it kind of brought it to my mind as I was kind of sleeping but yet not. Mm-hmm. Last night, he was visiting me and showing me all of the sadness, all of the grief, all of the mistakes, all of the harsh words, all of the, you know, the years of not speaking to one another, some of us, you know, and that each one of these things have been healed over the years mm-hmm. by the Lord, taking us through our separate yet equal upbringing. And I just think we're going to have such a beautiful time, and it's not going to be sad. It's going to be joy of the Lord, because love has endured.
I think that the common ground that we get to share with one another is the fact that who holds us? Mm-hmm. The one that holds us is actually the one that keeps us. And nothing shall pluck them out of his hand. And, you know, in his hand is his plan.
Yeah.
And when we are no more, we're still in that hand. Mm-hmm. You know, we get the excitement of God's word and not only knowing it, but we get to breathe it. We get to see it a lot of times. In reality, it's going beyond. I remember what Mike said to me last week. He was talking about his brother up on the pulpit to me just for a second. And he goes like this, can't believe where we came from to where we're at today. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. But it's also because you think, and I actually think this is one of those things the Lord actually wants us to, because it's really his word really encourages us for getting those things that are in the past or in the back, mm-hmm. and but yet pressing toward the mark. I mean, there's just as much emphasis on forgetting as there is pressing,
yes.
and pressing toward the mark of the high calling. And you know, that gives me
yes.
well, anyway, and just in the high calling. Tell me if you're not lifted up in his presence. I mean, you're lifted up to the place to where, oh, you see, say it's so much different. But like what I just read, but when I was a child, we realize that's already been, you know, I think we think of things as child when we look at other children a lot. You know, I'm thankful that I see with children and see how they interact and see. I remember our kids, when somebody would get upset with them, I've seen them, I've seen them get upset, and the kids were willing to forget, because as though it was nothing, because in the honesty, as a child, it was nothing, and they would play with each other in a matter of minutes. But if their parents, who are so educated and above it all, got involved in it, it would become a personal attack on their child. Because I've seen that. I've had somebody knock on the door. I want to see your son. You're real brave when you're talking to my wife. I get out of bed, come put a robe on, come downstairs. I say, excuse me. I step in front of her. I said, excuse me, what do you want to do? He said, I want to see your son. I said, you want to see my son? I said, what do you want to do with my son? Listen, no lie, this guy was kind of a little vicious. He said, I want to teach him manners.
Oh, well,
and I go like this. And, you know, I didn't take it, swallow up pride. Well, heck, you're coming against me. It's none of that. I said, in what way? He said, well, I said, if I bring my daughter over here, he slapped her in the face. I said, okay, I'll get my son. So I get my son down. And as he's covered down, I'm looking at him. He's got a handprint right on his face. And as kids growing up, you know how the Bible teaches you to turn the cheek and stuff like that? But I actually taught Josh, I go like this. Hey, I said, I don't care if it's a little girl. If you and a little girl get in, she smacks you, smack her back. And that's what he did. And he said, I want to teach him how to not smack my daughter. I looked at his face. I said, I got it. And I said, well, start with me. He goes, what? I said, I'm the one that taught him that. He said, you taught him how to hit a girl? I said, no. I taught him how to smack one. There's a big difference between hitting and smacking. Of course, he had been, since I'm not mentioning no names and it's not going over the air here, he had been practicing beating his wife enough. And I had seen that. So I wasn't about to let him teach my son manners. And he goes, oh, well, just no lie. He went home. Within 2 or 3 minutes later, who it was over was out there playing together. When parents get involved, big mistake. Mm-hmm. Kids will be kids. You been a kid?
They have a short memory when it comes.
Right. Well, because they value each other so much. I mean, it doesn't sound like it, but to be honest with you, they do. Yeah. They're out there laughing and playing and running and stuff like that together. And what are we thinking of that? Kids will be kids. My advice to that is we need to let them. Let them be kids. My goodness.
They don't harbor things.
Right.
Harvest things and hold on to things and feel they got a right to feel.
I want people to learn that it's more valuable.
Yes.
There's so many lessons I got taught by my mom. They're so valuable. What shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Yes. Nothing. And we shouldn't let anything in this temporary life separate us from one another. I mean, we have the eternal value built within the kingdom of God. And we, none of us earned it. It was given to us by grace. And don't you think that we got to let that grace continue on, not only in this present age, but in the age that's coming up? I'll tell you what I learned yesterday at graduation. I learned we have a tremendous amount of merciful kids. The world's not near as bad as people think. We got generations coming up that are merciful. Not earned, merciful. They receive mercy. And we got to see it in the day that we get to live. I think that's very much, I'm grateful for that.
One thing that came to my mind while you were speaking. It doesn't even yet appear.
Yes.
It will.
Yes.
You know, I sometimes feel like as full of growth and maturity as we feel we are still pre-born Elohim. You know what I mean? We don't even know ourselves. We can't even comprehend ourselves what we will be like. Because we've been lowered, and we're growing, and we are maturing. But when that day comes, I mean, when we realize, when it becomes crystal clear to us, when we see when you see him as he is, we're going to be like him. Mm-hmm. And it is so far above any, I mean, perfect, think of this, perfect love casts out fear. Can you imagine an entire universe with perfect love for each other? I mean, it doesn't yet appear, but we don't look behind. We press forward to the mark of the high calling. That's all that is important, is pressing on toward the mark of the high calling.
Well, I think this one sentence, it says, the time will come when we shall see reality whole and face to face. That's an exciting moment.
You know, five of my best friends I've known for almost 70 years, and I still see them all the time. And when I went through the tough times, when I went through my divorces, I kind of cut myself off from them because I just didn't feel like I fit in anymore. And I reconnected, and one night one of the guys said to me, he said, we're so glad that you're back together with us. And he said, you know, we thought about you a lot, and he said, we were always here. All you had to do is make a phone call. And I treasure that more than anything you can imagine. And we get together, we laugh, and we have such a good time. And I mean, it's just, it's, you know, it's something that I almost took for granted. You know what I'm saying? Until I reconnected and then realized how important it really was.
Let me read now from the Passion Bible, if that's okay with everybody. I love this 13th chapter of the Passion.
All right.
It just makes...
What did he read? Passion?
That was Phillips.
That was J.B. Phillips.
Phillips, all right. Now this.
Mama getting old. Love, the motivation of our lives. It motivates us. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. Or nothing more irritating than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy and with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, imagine that, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, I am nothing. If I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best of others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which may one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured and I laid aside my childish ways. For now, we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day, we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. That was just beautiful to me. Something that caught my eye when I was reading that night. I guess it wasn't important enough to remember, so. Go ahead.
I think when I fell in love, I didn't look to look critical. Matter of fact, I didn't even think about that. Now I'm talking about a natural love. I mean, I love the fact that my wife is actually literally the greatest joy of any person I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And I hope I come across not wanting people to think that this is childish, but I chose never to steal that love away from her, that laughter away from her. I was actually better because of that laughter, mm-hmm. if we could put it that way, much better. Because, you know, and that's when I met her parents, I fell in love with them because I knew where that laughter came from. Mm-hmm. What a joyful childhood. I mean, just unbelievable. And I was telling her the other day, Debbie, niece, and Kurt and me, you know, we're all relatives. Friday, we chose to celebrate Mother's Day by going to the cemeteries. And we went to Oak Hill first, and we drove past Brother Eddie's, and then Jeanette and them around the corner. Well, anyway, all this. And I told him, I said, well, I said, that's seven people that really knew very well. And I said, well, you ready to go to Arlington, Kirk? He goes, yeah, that's where his mom's buried. And we go up there, and within about the size of this room, we seen eight of our relatives right there. And it was a happy moment. I mean, you know, they cleaned off the headstones and everything and made them look almost brand new and just put flowers at it, took pictures of that and stuff like that. And I told Kurt, I said, you and me, well, you know, we're cousins, but I said, you and me are probably some of the blessed men on the face of the earth. Not because of our wives, but because of our in-laws. He looked at me. I mean, it was just, you know, the old saying is you don't get along with your in-laws or whatever, you know. But we proclaimed with Susan and let's see, who else was it? Susan, all the other guys' wives and stuff like that. We had a picture taken, and they said, "Well, what do we title this?" I said, "Outlaws." Because we were the outlaws that had become become in-laws. And it was perfect for me. I could say for me it was perfect. And there's great value when you get along that much with them. I mean, no, you know, the closest, I'll tell you a quick story. The closest I ever came to my father-in-law was when he came into the house without knocking on the door. And my children were coming down after Dad had taken them to the bedroom and disciplined them. And they were both crying. And Dad was crying. Of course, he didn't notice Dad was crying. But anyway, he looked at his grandchildren and says, what's wrong? And I would have preferred he said, what's up? But anyway, what's wrong? And Josh said, Daddy just whipped us. And I could see upon my father-in-law's face that he didn't like that. But I felt the boldness of the Holy Ghost come upon me. And I said, well, if you're not willing to accept that, I said, I answer to God and Him only. I said, that door you came through is still open. He said, I'll start playing with the kid. But I think that's reality of, you know, first of all, it's the reality that you're doing what God, you're supposed to do with your children. That was, you know, spare not the rod, and you spoil the child. But the only time, and I told them when they were little, the only time daddy will ever spank you, and I meant spank, because I only spanked them once each, that was it. And it's when they lied to me. I said, you break the window, we'll take care of it. Just admit that you broke the window. Mm-hmm. But you lied to me. That's not acceptable. And I think that was the first and the last time they ever lied to me. But, you know, I mean, we talk about, I was listening to a junior talk about Holden working, you know, his whole senior year. Well, and it's okay that you probably, I'm telling you something you probably don't know. Our children, our two kids, worked since they were both 14 years old. We never bought another stick of clothes for them. They took care of all that themselves. They became really responsible. But they worked up at Thurldine's, one of the jobs they had, they worked up at Thurldine's ice cream place. And Joey told me, she said, well, I never did get asked, Josh. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, go ahead. She said, well, I wanted to know what he thought about working with me. I said, I think you're gonna like this. She said, what? He said, it's the best job I ever had, working with my sister. But they loved each other. Mm-hmm.
They still do.
Yeah. And they still got the laugh of their mother, even though Joey's is kind of like, anyway, God's good,
yeah.
And He's good all the time.
Yeah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
You know, Josh got in the pool at camp, and I baptized him.
Oh,
I was 32 years old.
Wow.
And I told Debbie, I said, since then, God has had me laughing, because I actually believe I seen God laughing when I said that. I said, if God was to take me home today, I've lived a full life. I was 32, and both my kids were baptized already. And I see God laughing because He knew the future, and I didn't. Because I got four grandsons. I'm not laughing like I'm taking it for granted. I'm laughing because God's all wisdom. He's all knowing. He's all precious.
Anybody else? You guys been quiet today. Mm-hmm. I take away your reading capability.
I'm a great listener.
Yes, he is.
And that's a wonderful thing to be.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say something. This year, I will be married to this woman over here for half of my life. And I'm sitting in this room because, number one, God led me here. But number two, without her and God working with me, I'd never be here today. As you all, at least two people in this room know, I thought this way of life was totally idiotic the first time I met everybody. And I'm just being honest. And I said to her, you will never, ever get me to go do that. Never. And here I am.
That's when we used to have the get-togethers on Friday night at the park.
Yeah, at the park, yeah.
Yes. And Mike's idea of getting together with a bunch of people at the park involves a lot of beer drinking and story. And we were having people go around circle praying, people go around laying hands on people, and, you know, praying and just singing.
And I said, are you nuts?
He said to me, one of those people comes around and puts their hands on me. Sorry. Hallelujah. God put His hand on Mike.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God.
And I look back when I was, like I told you, we were talking about my brother and I. I look back at my life, and I look at all the things that I've gone through in my life. Mm-hmm. And I can, with a clearer mind now, look back, and every one of them led me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. And if none of those things had happened, I wouldn't be here today.
Well, I think that's the same thing God was telling me when he was kind of taking me on this little tour of my life, mm-hmm. and my family. That, I mean, every single thing led us. He was in control, you know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, when we didn't even know what to hope for. It was reality already to God.
Yeah. Well, I think in this verse here, in this life we have three lasting qualities. We mm-hmm. should emphasize lasting and their qualities. Mm-hmm. In this life we have faith, hope, and love. I mean, I know love's the most important, but my goodness, faith, hope. You know, I don't remember the scripture, but it says like we have to have a reason for hope. Is it a reason for give people a reason for their hope that lies within them or lives within them?
Well, we're supposed to do that, yeah.
I think Frank Pastore, next major league ball player, was told that by Tommy Helms in a prayer meeting that they had as a Red Leg. And he said, and Frank Pastore became an evangelist, and he actually stirred people up to say, you ought to be able, according to the scripture, to tell people the hope that lives within you and express it to someone else. So, and the expression should be, so they will desire to have that. And I'm thinking, wow. We live in a great day. I still believe that today's the greatest day mm-hmm. that anyone in this room has ever lived. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I still look for God to do great things. I mean, he's not done. I mean, being honest with you, I haven't seen him face to face. The closest I've come so far is looking at your face.
Yeah, when you talk about love, I remember having a dog that his love was something miraculous because he was protective and he was loving and he was, everything you did for him, like give him a treat and wag his tail. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, even if you correct him, still came back, licked your face and all that. That's what, you know, I'm hoping to be a people, you know. Just that.
Yeah. Well, you know, God does everything in his time and his reason. And if you look at that verse, faith, hope, and love, mm-hmm. you know, there's a reason those three words are put in that vernacular. Mm-hmm. Without faith, you can't have any hope, and without the other two, you can't love.
God showed me originally in that portion of scripture and in Romans the 12th chapter. Romans the 12th chapter says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Three things. Those are three realms of growth that we all go through. These three here are three realms of growth that yeah. we all go through.
Amen.
Just like you said, you haven't seen him face to face, so you're not moving in perfect love yet. You know, I mean, let's mm-hmm. just be honest. Mm-hmm. If we were moving in perfect love, if somebody smacked you upside the head, you'd do exactly what Jesus did. You'd turn the other cheek and say, me again, you know, we haven't arrived there yet. In Romans the 12th chapter, it's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will. When you first get saved, you start learning about the goodwill of God.
Yes.
The goodwill.
Yes.
And that word means benefits. Mm-hmm. You start learning about the benefits of being in Christ. You start learning that even when you make a mistake, He still loves you.
Yes.
You start learning that you can receive healing, you can receive encouragement from other people, mm-hmm. and that He's that friend that's always there with you, no matter what happens. And that has to do with faith. It stirs faith in you. That's the second thing here in this chapter. Then as you move on a little farther, and I think most people who start to grow up in Christ, they get into the good, the acceptable. The acceptable will of God, the word acceptable there means well-pleasing. Mm-hmm. And when you begin to realize that He's well-pleased in you in any stage of your growth, then you quit heaping condemnation upon yourself and upon other people, mm-hmm. because you realize they haven't arrived yet,
right.
neither have you, in that sense of the perfect love of God. And that's when you get to the place of hope. And hope stirred inside of you, the word hope there means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. Mm-hmm. From having the experience of receiving the benefits of being in Christ, you've grown up into a place to where the hope of God begins to stir. You're saved by hope, Scripture tells you. Why are you saved by hope? You're saved by hope because the word hope there means to anticipate, usually with pleasure.
Yes.
You start anticipating what God will do, no matter what's happening around you as you grow to another stage of maturity. You start anticipating what God will do, and you know that He does all things well. Even if there's something bad happening right now, you know that the Scripture says that how many things work for good of them that love the Lord? All things.
Yes, amen.
When you come to that knowledge, then you can function in the well-pleasing aspect of God. Realize He's well-pleased in you, and you're definitely well-pleased in Him because you know that He's the answer for everything. But also, you see here, that's the hope. You start to anticipate what God will do. Even in bad situations, you say, well, bless God, I know You've met me in the past, God. I know You'll meet me now. And you know what I mean.
Yeah, man.
That hope is there, see, that anticipation. And the last one of that is charity. It's love. And the last one in Romans, the 12th chapter, is perfect. You know, mm-hmm. perfect. And that word perfect that back there means a full-aged man. If you look it up, a full-aged man. What does it say over here? It says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reacted as a child, basically. Mm-hmm. But when I become a man, what do? I put away childish things. And now by these three, faith, hope, and love. That's the completeness of it. There's three courts. There's the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Let me tell you what. When you come to the place where you're actually functioning in the love of God, you've stepped over into the Holy of Holies. Now, I never did tell my kids to hit anybody back. I mean, that's just a difference in opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. I never did tell my kids to hit anybody back. My mother never told me to hit anybody back. But when I was younger, if you hit me, I was going to knock your teeth out. Now, you know, and I got in trouble for fighting different times and stuff like that. And I didn't put up with nothing from nobody when I was a kid. But that was just, that comes natural to the natural man. You don't have to tell, you know, Mark come home from school one time. And this good friend of his had punched him in, or this kid he thought was his friend had punched him in the stomach. And he come home and he was upset. And Mark was a Christian. He had given his life to the Lord. And he come home and he said, you know, this certain boy had punched him in the stomach. And he said, he didn't know what to do. And I said, well, buddy, you need to do what you think you should do. I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. And he went back to school. And the kid did something. He punched the kid. And then they went their separate ways. And then Mark went over to the boy later on and said, I think we should be friends, you know. And they became real good friends, you know. Now, I never had to tell him to hit anybody. That comes natural. Mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. Somebody smacks you or punches you, and as long as you're operating in the natural man, you're going to act naturally. You're going to do what comes naturally to you. And, you know, but there's coming a time when we move into the perfect love of God and the perfect will of God to where we're not going to react as the natural man anymore. Right. We're going to only show the love of God. Somebody mistreats you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to love them. You know, what does it say? Jesus went to the cross. He went like a lamb without slaughter. He didn't open his mouth. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything, you know. And the only thing he told them later on when they said something to him, he said, well, they basically was telling him, you know, aren't you going to speak up for yourself? And I'm kind of paraphrasing all this. Mm-hmm. And he basically said to him, he said, my Father would send so many legions of angels if I asked him.
Right.
But he didn't. Why? Because he was functioning in the love of God. And until we get to the point where we don't have to fight back, where we don't have to do anything like that, and we know that God's in total control of everything, that's the perfect love of God.
Yes.
And you know, we aren't quite there, like you said, Clyde. We're not there. And you can claim it all you want, and you can holler up and down that you're there, but you're not yet. I haven't seen one person, I've never met one person that's walking in the full, total love of God, you know, on this side of the veil. Not yet. But it's going to come, and it's coming, you know. But like I said, in the 12th chapter of Romans, now by, you know, faith, hope, well, faith, hope, and love here, and then it's the good will, the perfect will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. You know, there's three realms, but when you come to that final realm, that perfect will of God, if you look up the word perfect, it also means a full-aged man.
Well, that's great.
And what does it say later on in Romans the fourth chapter? It says it talks about when we've come to I can't remember exactly how it puts it, but it's basically saying that we have to come to a place of the perfect faith in God, basically what it really amounts out to. And we've come to that, then we become the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro by sleight of men, cunning craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive, but doing what? Speaking the truth in what? Love. In love.
Right.
We might grow up into him in all things, see? And that's basically, there's three realms. We're still functioning in the second realm. We've claimed to be in the third realm, and we want to move into that Holy of Holies. And each one of those realms, you have to move into it by faith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's as that faith comes to total perfection, you know, then that's how you move into that. And who's the author and finisher of our faith?
Jesus.
God is Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that finishes it in us. So we can try as hard as we might to be a perfect man. And you know what you'll do? You'll kill yourself trying. That's exactly
right.
What you'll
well,
do. You'll
right.
kill yourself trying. And it won't work, and you'll walk around in condemnation because you think, oh God, I failed God. Mm-hmm. I should have done this, I should have. You know. But he's the author and the finisher, and he's the one that will bring this thing to a total completion, and it's all in his time, you know.
Yes.
And you know, I love what it says here. If you read that in the King James here, you know, he says we have all these gifts, you know, and all this and that, yet I show unto you a more perfect way, basically, is what he's saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that more perfect way is the way of love, because that's the completion of this thing. It's not totally completed yet as far as we're concerned. As far as he's concerned, it is complete.
Mm-hmm.
He finished it.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to bring us into that total realization, mm-hmm. and that total reality of the thing. And when we come into that total reality, then, you know, we will no longer speak as a child, we'll no longer act as a child, but we'll put away foolish things, and I hate to say it, But the church in general, we function in foolish things, you know. We say one thing and we do something different half the time, you know. It ain't no wonder that the world looks at us at times and thinks, my God, them guys are so foolish. Like, well, Mark, what would you say, Mike, when you went to the things? Them guys act foolish. They're going crazy. Why? Because you know what? That's the way we act. That's what we do, you know, in the natural world. But there's coming a day when we're going to move so much in the love of God where that's not going to happen anymore.
Little did I know that I was the one who was crazy.
Well, and to a certain extent, maybe they were acting a little crazy. Who knows? You know, but what does it say about the foolish thing? He chose the foolish things to do what?
Confound the wise.
To confound the wise. You know, he chose the weak to bring to naught the strong, right. You know, out there, what's considered to be strong.
Well,
so, thank God, and that's why Paul said, I'll glory in my weakness, basically. He said, because when I'm weak, then he's strong, you know. But
at the end of that, where you're talking faith, hope, and love, and you could flip-flop the first two words.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you hear it all the time. One thing that people need is hope, and people are hoping for something better. All over this world, there are people hoping for something better. And all of a sudden, when they start getting faith, that hope becomes more of a reality than something else.
Well, see, faith is not an ending thing. Faith is a beginning point, and it's a growing point. It keeps getting greater and greater and greater.
That's right.
And as it comes to its full completion, let me read that to you real quick out of Romans. Not the 12th, out of the 4th chapter. Let's see, get it real fast here. I'm sorry. I'll get it here in a minute. Romans chapter 4. Let's see if I can find it here. I have a hard time finding stuff in this Bible because...
so much.
Let's see. No, it's Ephesians chapter 4. I'm telling you the wrong thing. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. Just take a second to get that. I will read it to you. Let's just read a little bit up above here. It says, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in the hope of one calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through you all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captive to captivity. Now he that ascended, what is it? First he descended in first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we come into the unity, oneness, of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, that's all them same words that we're seeing everywhere else. That's the completion of that thing. But see, what it tells you in the first part of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And what does that mean? We keep the unity, we try to stay in unity with God by seeking His faith, by being obedient to the things He tells us, unity of the faith, And endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith, but over here, we're actually coming to the completion of that faith. You know what I mean? The unity of the faith, the oneness in faith. You know, and that's what we have to come to. And what did Jesus pray? Was his high priestly prayer? Father, I pray that they might be what?
One
as you and I are one. Mm-hmm. That's that unity of the faith. See. All of that stuff works together, and it's three realms too, and we've come into the first realm a long time ago when we first received the Lord. We're still growing in that realm. We're always going to grow in the realm of faith. Your faith will increase as you come to know Him. It will generate hope in you, cause you to anticipate all the good things that he's going to do and what he's going to do, and that he's going to keep his word, and he's always with you. And then what will it do? It will bring you into the place of the love of God, the fullness of the love of God. And then you'll be that full-aged man. And that's what the world's waiting to see. They're waiting to see Jesus. And until we show him to them, they're not going to believe, you know. But he's the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's the one that will do that.
Mm-hmm. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, it's talking about rather let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and all things unto him who is the head, even the Christ, the Messiah, anointed one. For because of him, the whole body, the church and all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knitted together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, with each part with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, growing to the full maturity, building itself up in love. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that speaking the truth in love, yeah. What was he? He was the way, the truth, and the life. Until we speak him and speak as him to the world, they're not going to believe. They were waiting to see a people stand up in a full-grown people, a people that have come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, we're not there yet. We're just not. I mean, you know, I hear deeper truth people try to claim that we're there. Well, you can claim it all you want, but until the reality of it steps in,
that's right.
you're claiming it, you know. And you know, but he calls those things that are not as though they were. So there's a real balance in that. And I mean, it's sometimes it's almost a mystery, you know.
Well, we're a work in process.
We are.
I mean, the good thing is every one of us know he's the beginning and he's the end.
That's right.
And guess what? We get to be in between that. And we should be happy being in between it.
Yeah.
Because that's in his presence, there's fullness of joy.
Right.
I mean, it is a balance, but I'll tell you what, the whole truth is in his time.
Mm-hmm. The day will come when we shall go no more out.
Go no more out.
That's right.
And that day's coming. Yeah.
Oscar, will you close in a word of prayer?
Sure. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I thank you for all of the talk that's went on here today about love, because we truly do need your perfect love to flow through us and flow out into the world. And,
yes,
and Father, we just ask you to just help us grow up. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't make ourselves grow up. You know, a kid can stand and say, I want to be taller. And you know what? It just happens as it happens. And that's the way it is in the Lord. It just happens as it happens by your faith, by your presence in our lives. And I thank you that you are the author and the finisher, and you're going to do the one that does the finishing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Bless Clyde.